I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Today, Japan's prime minister asked that a nuclear power plant southwest of Tokyo be shut down. Now, the plant was not the one that was damaged by the March 11th earthquake and tsunami, but it does sit on an earthquake fault, and it lacks a seawall to protect it from the ocean. Shutting down the plant would further reduce available electric power in Japan. Supplies already low there because of the loss of the crippled reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi plant. That's just one of the many challenges facing Japan on its long road to recovery. The BBC's Roland Burke is in Tokyo, and he tells us it's going to be years before the most affected areas of northeastern Japan feel anywhere close to normal.
There's a huge amount of debris there. People are still living as well in evacuation centres. They're still in school gyms in places like temples, sleeping on the floor in blankets. Now, I think your listeners will remember that the Japanese were incredibly stoical, very quick to help each other, very slow to complain. But psychologists are getting pretty worried. They're concerned that bottling up their feelings might mean that people will be more vulnerable to trauma in the future. Akiko Kono from Médecins Sans Frontières, she's a psychologist who's been sent up there. She's concerned about the long-term effects on the mental health of the survivors.
Many people have fear, especially aftershocks are still persisting here. For example, some children, they always wear the clothes or helmet, even the night time, because they think they have to evacuate immediately after they have aftershocks.
Are the Japanese, for mental health problems, mm-hmm. are the Japanese keen to seek help, or are they reluctant to come and see people like you?
Of course, usually Japanese people don't want to show their negative feelings. They want to keep their negative feelings inside, but maybe inside they are suffering a lot.
Roland, what she said there is that a lot of Japanese have fears that another aftershock is going to happen, so the kids wear clothes when they go to bed or a helmet, she said, at nighttime. Is that the kind of thing you see among adults as well, or are they as fearful as the children are?
Yes, you do see that among plenty of adults. One of the problems that people have in Japan is that lots of people say that they get kind of phantom aftershocks. They keep feeling it. Is the ground moving? Is there going to be another big earthquake? And that stops people sleeping at night. It makes people reluctant to take off their clothes and get into their pajamas at night. And that really makes life even more difficult for people up there.
How about for the people who are trying to repair the towns and cities who have so much to deal with, not just, as you've been saying, the mental scars, but also simply a matter of getting rid of debris and trying to rebuild? What are they facing now?
Well, the debris is now the biggest challenge for the local authorities along the coast. I was in the town of Ishinomaki, and they estimate there that the wreckage in the streets is equivalent in size and volume of what the town would have thrown out as rubbish over an entire century. They set up a dump outside the town, but it's not going to last for long. Now, Hideyuki Katsumata's company, they're working on the waste disposal operation.
We thought that was enough for 1 year, but we started before 1 month and a half. Now it's full.
So you filled up a place you thought would last for a year.
Yes.
In a month and a half.
Yeah, yes.
So they have no idea what to do next, Roland. Where are they putting the debris?
Well, they're piling it up, putting some in that dump that's filling up. The rest is piling up in great mounds in the town. What they want is some kind of national plan. They're hoping that other parts of the country are going to volunteer to take some of it. And of course, for the survivors in those towns, the people who want to move back to their neighbourhoods, they just can't do that very easily because there are these great mounds of stinking rubbish everywhere, blocking the streets and making it impossible to start normal life again.
What is normal life for the average Japanese citizen in the region right now?
Well, normal life is a very long way off. Many of the people up on the coast were fishermen. Their boats have been destroyed. And of course, there is concern about the Fukushima nuclear plant as well, making people a bit more reluctant to buy fish. Other people were farmers, but in some cases, the tsunami swept over the fields, sowing them with salt. So that makes it difficult for farmers to start working too.
And among the other enormous challenges ahead are what?
I think the biggest challenge for Japan as a nation is going to be energy. The earthquake and tsunami triggered the crisis at Fukushima, and that in itself has caused power shortages. But it's also raised concern about the other nuclear power plants in Japan. Only today we've seen the Prime Minister saying that a nuclear power plant to the southwest of Tokyo should be shut because it's on a fault line. So this is a country that relies on its high-tech industries. It's now having to reassess how it's going to power its industries.
Yeah, just one more thing. I mean, that must have enormous implications for the economy there. What's being said about that?
Yeah, they're concerned certainly about power shortages in the summer. People are trying to do things to mitigate that. Lights are being switched off. Even the heated toilet seats you get in Japan, they've been unplugged in many office buildings. In some ways, it could be something of an opportunity, though, because Japan is going to need now to develop energy-saving green products, and it's going to have to do that out of necessity now, and that could be something that spurs on the country's industries to develop things that could give it a market in the rest of the world.
Thank you very much. The BBC's Roland Burke speaking to us from Tokyo, Japan. Thank you very much, Roland.
Thanks very much indeed.